Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's awesome. You guys are missing a treat if you don't sit up here by these two professional trio. Just like, wow, hearing you harmonize. Awesome. Go ahead and be seated. I always admire people like Michelle who have this incredible talent that they can share with us. A gift. It is a gift. And John Salato is bragging on him. He is a genius guitar player. He plays like he's trying to teach me, and it's pretty hopeless. John, it's been bad. I mean, he's an encourager, but I don't have 100 years, John, to learn. So there's just some of you guys. Praise God. I hope so. I'll be a good one in heaven. You know, I remember in meeting a guy one time. I went to a little church out in the country somewhere, and this guy played the piano like he just made it bounce all over the place. It was unbelievable in church. And he told me a story. I have no reason to doubt it. He said that he'd never had a lesson in his life. He asked God to give him the ability to play the piano. And he said supernaturally, he started sitting down, and he figured it out. He understood it in his mind, and he took off playing it. That's what I want, John. I don't want to have to practice. I want the gift. Well, I got to tell you a funny story. The other Sunday, we went out to dinner with Mom and Pop Steedley right here on the front row. And they're always dressed to the hilt on Sunday morning. And ain't nobody can outdress them. So they looked like a king and a queen, you know. So we went out to this restaurant to eat, and before they came, they were coming in the door, I went up to this girl who's a hostess, and I was just joking around. I didn't think she'd take me serious. I said, today we have His Majesty and Her Majesty, the King and Queen of Elbonia, coming in with us. And she just got up and got, I mean, she took me serious. I didn't think, I was just joking, but she took me serious. The King and Queen of Elbow, she got up and she escorted us all over to this special table in this restaurant, and I heard her talking to some of the staff over there. There's the King and Queen. I said, it's a little country in Africa, a small country, but they're King and Queen of Elbonia. And man, we got the royal treatment. I'm going to do that again. That's the first time it ever worked. Because I had somebody that looked the part, like a king and queen there. That was fun. Yeah, that was fun. I need to borrow a music stand up here. I have some notes that I need to look at tonight. And 2023 is here. Now, Pat Jenny put out a message to kind of tease you and provoke you to come out tonight. If you don't normally come out, and try to get you to come out. Now I've done it. I'm broke the thing. Don't worry about it. Thank you. I'll have to pay for this one now. I broke it. But about 2023 and like a prophetic, some symbolism and meaning behind it. And thank you, brother. Some may have thought that I'm going to give you prophetic words of things that's going to happen in 2023. That's not the case. That's not what I meant by that. But if you're here, I hope you'll stay. Because I do believe that there are some things here that God wants to show us and reveal to us. And I think it'll be very thought-provoking for you tonight. And I don't listen to a lot of prophetic folks. like on what do you call that list, Elijah list and things like that. I don't. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but I just don't. And but I do get like an email or two from some people that I genuinely know are prophetic, strongly prophetic, and have had incredible prophetic words for me personally. And so I know them, and so I trust them. And what I've gathered from listening to some people that I genuinely trust about the prophetic, and they're talking about 2023, is that putting together what one says and another says, I put it together, and it bears witness to my heart that 2023 is called a year of completion, prophetically. A year of completion. Now, that means 100 different things to 100 different people. So you can't just go across the board and say, well, it means you're done. You're complete. You're going home to heaven. Or this project's going to be complete. I don't know. The Holy Spirit has to highlight those things to you personally. But I genuinely believe that in some capacity, 2023 is going to be marked prophetically as a year of completion for us. And I want to try to elaborate a little bit on that tonight. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the honor of kings to search it out. God hides things, you've heard me say this many times, not from us, but for us. He wants us to enjoy the discovery with the Holy Spirit enlightening us and showing us things that we would not see or know in the natural. We'd just walk right by it, wouldn't pay any attention to it. Things that may seem coincidental, we would typically ignore. But the Holy Spirit has a way of getting our attention, of pointing things out to us and highlighting like scriptures or words or things that we hear over and over again. And then we start to recognize God's trying to communicate to me through something. Now, you know, God speaks a variety of languages. Did you know that? And I don't mean about just French, English, and German, things like that. But I'm talking about a variety of languages, like through circumstances, through prosperity, through lack, God can speak to you. Through the weather, through opportunities that come to you, through opportunities that don't come to you. When doors open, doors close, symbols, and even through numbers, God can speak to you in a unique way that you may not be able to share with everybody because they think, well, you're crazy. But for example, when you look at 2023, and this is maybe oversimplistic, I'm just saying it's not the word from God, but when you put those numbers together, you see number 7, the number of perfection or the number of completion. And I think this is where some of these prophetic people are telling, it's a number, it's a year of completion. God's going to complete some things. He's going to tie up some loose ends. He's going to bring to pass some answers to prayer that you've been waiting on for a long time. There's going to be a completion, because whatever God starts something, He finishes it. He's faithful to begin something. He's faithful to see it all the way through to the end. And so if this is quickening to your spirit, if this is means something to your heart already, then it's, you can take it as a prophetic confirmation, and you can say, yeah, God's been saying that to me. He's been showing me this. So I can take this as some way or another and give me hope and encouragement. That's what prophecy is supposed to do, give you comfort, encouragement, and edification, that God's going to wrap some things up for me that need to be wrapped up. Some loose ends that I need tied up in my life, He's going to help me take care of that. So praise God. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, yep, I'll take that. That's mine. That's the way God's been talking to me. Okay. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, they belong to us. So when God reveals something to us, it's for us to claim it, to keep it, to hold on to it, to give you hope, which may be not right away, but in coming. And you need to endure a journey with hope. Without hope, you can't endure a long journey. You have to have hope. And so when God reveals secret things to you, you just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I don't fully understand it yet. I don't know exactly how it's going to apply, but I thank God you are revealing secret things to me that I need to know in order to go forward in this life. So, for example, there are things that God keeps us from knowing. He purposely does not reveal. He keeps us from knowing. For example, in Mark 13:32, we don't know the day or the hour of the Lord's return. Nobody does. And any prophet that gets online and tells you they do is wrong. According to the Word of God, we don't know. 1 Corinthians 13:9, we only know in part. And we prophesy in part. We don't have it all. We don't know the day of our death. Only one person in the Bible that I'm aware of knew the exact time and day of his death. Does anybody know who that is? Don't give me Jesus. That's not fair. It's true. But it's not the answer I'm looking for right now. Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you 100,000 free points right now if you can get it. 100,000 points. Who? 100,000 points, brother. Here you go. They're yours. Don't spend them all in one place. Hezekiah. He was the king, remember, that Elijah came to with a word from the Lord and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. And he cried, it says he turned his face to the wall and he besought God. And before Elijah got out of the palace, God turned him around and said, now go back in, tell him he's got 15 more years. So 15 years from that day, Hezekiah, as far as I know, is the only one that knew the exact day and hour that he was going to die. Wow. Huh?
That Israel would be going into captivity two years.
Yeah.
The prophet, Jeremiah told him, mark this day, you got one more year.
Okay.
To leave you, and he left here too. Okay.
Okay, thank you. I guess I was totally wrong then. That wasn't the only guy. You're going to give me back those 100,000 points. I'm sorry. You have to ask him. Now, sometimes numbers are significant in the Bible. Sometimes they're significant. And we should meditate on them and discover, what does God want us to know from this? Okay? Like, for example, have you ever woke up in the middle of the night, several nights in a row, the exact same time? Okay. You should ask God, God, what's going on with this? What's this all about? Why the exact same minute? You know, 3:33 a.m. And then you ask God. I mean, we can't put a blanket prophecy out there and say, well, if you know, this means this. You can't do that because everything is different. It's customized for each individual. For example, when you have dreams that are from God, don't go on the internet looking for a dream interpreter. I'm telling you, don't do that. You're insulting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who interprets dreams. You go to Him first. And if He leads you to use another source or book or this and that to help you, but you go to Him first. Because a dream means something to you. And be careful about sharing dreams. You share a dream about something happened to you, and you tell me what you think about it, and then that person will tell you their interpretation. But look, dreams mean different things to different people. Certain symbols mean different things to different people. Certain colors mean different things. So God gave you a dream. He was speaking in your language. Be careful about getting interpretation from other people. Go to God first and wait on Him. If He gives you something, great. If He doesn't, just hold it. Don't go tell it to everybody. because you're going to get a million different opinions. Sometimes numbers are given for us just to be a number. That was profound. You ought to just say, wow. Jesus led, he fed 5,000 people with five loaves and three fishes. Why do we need to know five loaves, three fishes? He could have just said he fed a multitude of people. Why did he tell us 5,000? Okay. There were 3,000 people, the scripture says, that died the day that Moses got the law on Mount Sinai. There were 3,000 that were born again on the day of Pentecost. Why do we need to know three? Why did he just say a multitude? I know you have an answer.
On the Hebrew calendar, it's exactly the same day.
Is it?
The day that the law was given on Mount Sinai, yeah, and the day that of first Pentecost is the Feast of Weeks, and it's exactly the same day.
I did not know that. That is cool. Thank you.
God doesn't do things by coincidence. It's his way of keeping his hand upon everything without being obvious about it.
You're exactly right. And that's the point I want to prove tonight with what you just said, that God's really in charge of what's going on in our world. And it should give us a great amount of peace. You know, for example, the Bible says when David was facing Goliath, he went down to the stream and he picked up five smooth stones. There's only one giant. Why did he pick up five? There's different theories on that. Goliath had brothers, you know. And the Bible names them. That's another sermon. But, you know, there's just some things that it's not real clear on that. For example, there are three stages of the temple, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. There's three parts of man, the body, the soul, and the spirit part, which communicates with God. 666 is the mark of the beast. Number 6 is the day that man was created. It's the number of man. 666 is man without God. Okay. I've heard of people checking out the grocery store and the total rings up $66.06. And they see that number and it freaks them out, and they give that cashier an extra penny so it won't be 666. That's superstitious. Numbers don't have power over you. I've seen people do that. I've seen a person right in front of me do that. Oh my goodness. Just to avoid paying 666. That's pure superstition. Now the point is, we have to be dependent upon God to give us insight and revelation about numbers or symbols and their significance and colors and so forth. And I want to warn you of this, because Christians sometimes are just not aware of this, and they'll go on the internet and they'll find all kinds of stuff. Beware of what's called numerology. That's a cult. A cult. You're not to be a part of that. That's a belief that you can discover your future or your mate by figuring out their number from their birth date and this and that and all this kind of stuff. That's like horoscopes. God tells us in his word, stay away from that. You're a person of faith. You're not a person of superstition. And so numbers are not God. So if you check out and the cashier and you have 666, don't freak out about it. If the cashier says something, get your opportunity to witness. Say, that doesn't have any power over me. You know, I'm not the Antichrist. So anyway, I just want you to be aware of that, if you weren't aware of numerology, because it's all over the internet. Some people who believe in numerology will calculate the value, they'll get the name, the number of each letter of the alphabet and things like that have certain value, and they'll get the name of a girl that they're dating or something, and they'll calculate their number to see if their number is compatible with you. That's horoscopes. That's a cult. But there are people that actually do that. And maybe some of you did that. And I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I'm going to say get out of that, because that's not godly. And that's not what you're be a part of. It's not for people of faith. there are a lot of people that must have been born on June 6th, 06. Do you know anybody? Yeah, 666. Somebody. There's a lot of people. Are they the Antichrist? No. Numbers don't have power over you. And so you've got to realize, it must have been other people, a lot of people born on 07, 07, 07. But see, people freak out about it. Sometimes numbers have significance. Sometimes they're just numbers. Common sense. Amen or oh me. On the other hand, there are some genius people, smarter than I'll ever be, who have discovered some fascinating things in the Word of God that are associated with numbers. And I'm just going to put up something on the screen and quote it to you, or let you read it, really. I got this out of a book, so I'm not smart enough to figure this out, but it has to do with the number 12 keeps showing up. God designed the world to be 24,000 miles around or in circumference. That's 12 times 2. And you look and read all this. If the Earth travels 1,600,000 miles in one day in its orbit around the sun, and then there's a 12... the sun has a 12. The moon has a linear diameter of this, and that's a factor of 12. God decided that one day would have 24 hours. There's 12 again. 12 time zones on our planet. 12 months of the year. 12 constellations. 12 tribes of Israel. 12 disciples. So the question we have to: is this a coincidence or is this a pattern? See. Sometimes. It is, but the number 12, when we see in the Bible, when you frequently look it up and see it in the Bible, represents that God is governing things. That's what 12 means. It's a number for government. God is governing things. He's saying, I am in control here. It may look like the world's out of control, but no, I am in control. 60 seconds. 12, 60 minutes, 12, 60, 360 degrees, factor of 12, one complete circle. So some things we have to come back and wait a minute. So now when 12 pops up in my reading of the Bible and stuff, I need to slow down a little bit and try to put all this together and understanding what's going on here. So just a little interesting things there for you to think about. When God specifically mentions a number in the Bible, we should look into it. God is a God of details. He's in the details. And in the details, there are hidden things that we would not know. You know, for example, remember I've preached to you a few weeks ago about worship, and in heaven, in worship, in Revelation chapter 4, we saw the throne of God. And in the throne of God in Revelation 4, it says the one who sits on the throne is like a sardius or a diamond. And so the diamond, to me, speaks of light. It reflects light. And that's verified. And you look at the book of James, it says that God dwells in the unapproachable light. So God on the throne is light. He's emanating light. Then it says, and he is like a sardius stone, which we don't know what that's a ruby. And that's a red stone. And red could represent blood. It could represent life, which represents blood. But I look at it as representing love. God is love, 1 John chapter 4. So he who sits on the throne is light. He who sits on the throne is pure love. God is love. And then it describes, and there was a rainbow around the throne of God, and it says it's like an emerald. Now, a rainbow has different colors in it, but it says this rainbow is like emerald. What color is emerald? Green. And green, when we see springtime, we think of life. So we see coming out of God, we see light and love and life. But God uses these colors to represent something, to make us look deeper into this. You know, he gives us a picture in our mind, but each of these colors means something. It's significant to us. And so I got a friend's book, a man who actually came here and preached to us probably 4 years ago. His name is Troy Brewer, and he's a pretty well-known preacher. He's written a lot of books, and he gave me one of his books, and I just picked it up the other day out of the blue, and it's called Numbers That Preach. And I started perusing that, and I thought of 23 since it's 2023. And I got a lot of good information out of it, a lot of it which I'm sharing with you here today, because he's done all the deep research that I don't have that time to do. And he pointed out some things to me that I thought, wow, this goes along with the prophetic people that are telling me that 20 years is a year of completion. So I started compiling this stuff and putting it together. And what I saw out of his book associated with this is that the number 23 is often associated with death, but it's also associated with the presence of God. In other words, it has a positive and a negative. 23 has a positive and a negative. A negative is death, and the positive is the presence of God. Now, you may be thinking of death is purely negative. It's not always negative in the sense of you're dying. It could mean the end of something and the beginning of something new. See, the end of something brings that to completion. The beginning of something, now we're able to go on to what we're supposed to do. Are you understanding? So it's all positive, of course, with God. So when you're thinking of death, it's not just always talking about physical death. Now, he gave me some information that I want to share with you. Words mentioned in the Bible, and there were many more, 23 times in Scripture specifically. The word killeth, hell is mentioned 23 times in the New Testament. Death is mentioned 138 times, or 6 times 23. 23 keeps popping up with the understanding of death. And then I thought this was something that was very interesting. I've always liked gangster movies. Bonnie and Clyde, remember that story? Warren Beatty and what was the girl's name? Faye Dunaway. When I was young, that movie came out, the true story of Bonnie and Clyde. Well, there's a picture of them up there. Well, it happened to be, there's some interesting facts I did not know, that I did knew that the lady, the gangster Bonnie, actually started writing poetry. Nothing profound, just poetry. And she would send it into newspapers. And a newspaper published one of her poems. One was very lengthy, and I'm just going to read you a portion of it. It was published on April 23rd. And here was part of that poem. Someday they will go down together. They will bury them side by side. To a few it means grief. To the law it's relief. But it's death to Bonnie and Clyde. How profound. 1 month later, May 23rd, 1934, they were shot to pieces in an ambush. 23 people were arrested that day for harboring fugitives, or them. And Bonnie was 23 years old. I just think it's interesting. I'm not saying that it's God necessarily speaking, but I'm saying there are some noteworthy things that go along with death and completion and presence of God that I'll point out to in a minute in the number 23. So prophetic people that are saying 23 is a year of completion may be hearing something that I'm not hearing, and I need to pay attention to and listen and ask God about that. Other noteworthy things about the number 23. Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death," on March 23, 1775. 23rd President Harrison, Benjamin Harrison, his wife died during his presidency. The only president had a wife die while he was in the White House. Hitler rose to power on March, come on, say it with me. Oh, can I answer that phone for you? Come on, let me answer it.
It's Joe Steely. What do you want? If you call me again while I'm at church, I'm going to come over and bust you in the head. I'll tell you that right now.
They hung up. That's about the third time I got to use your phone. It was spam. It was nobody. I'm just teasing you. Do you remember, I do that because I like to have fun with that spontaneity, that oh my goodness, that radio guy. Wolfman Jack. He would call people up on the phone and says, "Your refrigerator running?" "Yeah." "Well, you better go catch it," you know, something like that, you know. And while I was on, anyway, don't get me started. Anyway, my wife's watching. She says she's watching. So, "Hi, honey. How you doing? Pray for me. I'm getting in that stupid mode," because she's, "Pray for me." She said, "Oh, Lord, I can't help him." All right, there's the other side. Now, let's look at the positive side. We said, you know, 23 associated with death in the scripture, a lot of places. But there's a positive side of 23. When God wants to tell us his presence is near us, he often used the number 23. That's interesting. When he wants to tell us his presence is near, he uses that. See, when the body of a believer dies, you're immediately translated into the presence of God. You die, but for a believer, it's just an end or a completion, but it's the beginning of something better. Are you understanding? And see, this is what I want you to get from this number 23. There's another side. The other side is the positives. There's something beginning out of 23. The year 23, there's some things that are going to be beginning that have never begun before in our church. There'll probably be ministries that begin that never began before. I don't know what they are. There'll be some things that we start that have just going to begin that we've never done before. It'll be the end of the old and the beginning of a new. Praise God. You can get excited about that. Psalm 23. "I will fear no evil, for you are," say it with me, "with me." The presence, God's with me. Matthew 1:23, "They shall call him Emmanuel, God with us." 23 happens to be there. Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." The presence, 23, the presence. Jeremiah 23:23, "I am a God who is near and not far off." So when God wants to tell us that he's present, he's with us, he often uses 23. Why? I do not know. But God is brilliant. Now, Pastor, what has all this got to do with us? I have no idea. I'm just putting it out there. You and the Holy Spirit can figure that out. Because what he says to you, he may mean something different to somebody else. So you don't just go across the board with everybody on everything. Everybody's uniquely different. God is a God of uniqueness. Look at your hand right now. You have on you fingerprints that have never existed. God didn't have to, he didn't run out of fingerprints and have to recycle them. Nobody has George Washington's fingerprints or Abraham Lincoln's fingerprints. Nobody has your fingerprints. He's a unique God. He can do unique things with and through you. He'll teach you things that he may not teach anybody else. Something will mean very, very significant to you, that you'll get something out of it, but somebody else won't get. But God is a unique God, and he loves you so much. He's got some great plans for you. So you can prophetically declare this. You can say that 2023, as far as for me and my household, is going to be a completion of things that need to be completed and a new beginning into the presence of God on some new things. And I can look forward to it in faith, because that's the God we serve. He's got great things for you. Okay, he didn't bring you this far to drop you. He didn't bring you to the villages just to sit and watch television. He got plans for you. Some things are going to end. Some new things are going to begin. Let's stand up together and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mystery. God, you're a God of wonder. We'll never figure you out. You are absolutely awesome, God. Just begin to do that right now. Just tell God how awesome he is and how in awe you are of his wonders, his signs, his goodness to you, his miracles to you. God, you're just incredible. I don't even have the words to express to you, God, how wonderful you are. Keep me in a sense of wonder of your glory. And thank you. Now we look forward to 2023, the year of completion. In Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. God bless you. Love some people before you go home tonight.